Welcome, fanatics, to another episode of Two Shades of Gray with a little On the Trail flavor. I'm here in the Cyclone Fanatic office. We're on CFTV Live. Hello, everybody. I'm joined by the Jared Stansberry and the Rob Gray. How you fellas doing today?
Doing okay. How
doing
about you?
This is, I think, the first time we've ever had three people on the CFTV Live at once.
I guess it depends on if you count. We're getting me and Jeff Woody on CFTV Live.
We're getting real close here. You see how close we are?
This is weird.
A little too weird.
It's not weird.
Yeah, it's early, I guess.
It's almost as weird as when Jeff Woody would float into the picture.
Well, that was just kind of dorky by Woody. A little dorky.
I like it when you guys fight. There's going to be a fair amount of fighting in this episode, isn't there?
There will be. There will be, because we disagree on stuff. And the fun thing is, I think a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and then hopefully they disagree with you too, Rob.
Yeah. Maybe even Jared will have some people disagreeing with him.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No, Jared, everything you put out there, people just eat up, and they just say, this is the best thing I've ever read. Jared, your wisdom is...
I've had multiple people tell me that I'm their favorite sports writer.
That's great. I'm sure your mom and dad are really proud of you. Once again, this Two Shades of Gray is brought to you by our good friends, Heartland Flags. Check them out, heartlandflagpoles.com. Big pickup last night for the Clones. Kind of get the off-season recruiting started in terms of commitment. Talk about it a little bit, Jared. You're the recruiting guru.
I think the biggest thing is that it gets everybody to calm down for maybe a day.
Yeah.
Hey, they got a commitment. Now we're not freaking out about how there's four scholarships that are left open.
Well, I think people were starting to freak out too because Crawford ended up committing and going to Ole Miss. Edwards went to LSU, and then the Rice transfer committed to Florida.
Yeah.
So everyone's thinking, oh crap, are we striking out with everyone? Are we going to get anyone here?
And I think that realistically, I don't know that much about the Crawford situation, but I'm not sure how legitimate that one was.
Yeah,
And then Darrell Edwards, yeah, he was on campus. Yeah, he scored, 13 points a game at Northwest Florida State last season. I don't think that he was the guy that was going to come in and be an immediate difference maker for Iowa State, like some people might have thought. But and then the Kolachov,
he's a player.
He's a player.
He's a player.
I don't know how legitimate that their chances were to be able to land him either.
Yeah, I would agree. And the only one that it really seemed like Iowa State had a good chance of getting was Edwards, and I kind of hinted at it for the last 3 weeks. I was never high on that kid.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's like a KJ Bluford. You bring him in, he might turn out to be kind of like a Tyrus McGee because he can shoot threes, but I wasn't banking on it. I didn't love him. I don't think it's a huge miss for Iowa State, but he did fill a need that they're still out there looking for, and that's a shooter.
Yeah.
Well, people forget how expansive this market is, too. So if you, quote, unquote, miss on a few guys, there are going to be other guys popping up in the next, month or so, too. So, these aren't necessarily swings and misses, per se, given you have a vast pool to choose from.
Yeah, I agree. So we haven't even actually named the person who we picked up, Iowa State picked up. Yeah. Talk about him.
Virginia transfer, Mariel Shayok. 6'5", I guess he's kind of a combo guard, or maybe a wing.
I'd say a wing. Yeah.
8 points a game his last season at Virginia, but he was a guy that could come out and really fill it up at times. And I think that's the thing you're going to see with Iowa State is that he gets into a different kind of system. I mean, averaging 8 points a game at Virginia is like averaging 15 or 20 at a lot of other places, and I think that he's a guy that's really going to be able to come in and make a big impact in 2018-19. He shot something like 32% from three-point range this past season. Get him a year to get to Ames, work with Steve Prohm, work with this staff, maybe see his offensive game expand a little bit. We saw how Naz, that 1 year off, was able to benefit him. I think that 1 year off could really benefit kind of just his shooting ability, his side skills, as much as it could, just him being able to learn the game a little bit more.
Yeah, I completely agree. And people that are sitting there maybe rolling their eyes when Jared said, how many points do you think he could score? Or what was the translation you said between his 8 points per game?
15. Yeah.
There's a reason for that. Adjusted tempo. I'm looking at KenPom right here. Virginia was the 351st in tempo last year.
So dead last.
Slow it down more than any team in the country. And Iowa State didn't run it like we've seen in the past, but they're still typically in the top 100 in tempo. Or I think actually last year 150. Iowa State's going to play faster. He's going to get more opportunities, and he's going to play more than 20 minutes per game. He's going to be 2 years older. I don't think it's crazy to think that this guy – I might not be going to the 15-point mark, but I don't think it's crazy to think this is a 12 to 13 point per game guy and 6 rebounds.
Yeah,
I think which is great. I mean, that's a good stat line for a college basketball player.
Well, that's probably what I would have predicted as well. And then, you know, if you look at that, then you've got a guy like Lindell Wigginton who will be a sophomore in 2018-19. Mm-hmm. You're still got some guys out there on the market that are going to be possible 2018-19 guys. Think about an Ed Morrow who could be a – I mean, he was almost a double-double guy every night in the Big Ten this past season. I mean, I'm not saying he'd average a double-double, but he was right on that line. And if he can get healthy and if Iowa State can land him, he's a guy that I think could be a difference maker as well. And 2018-19 could shape up to be a pretty good team if they get – another piece like that, maybe get Justin as well.
Yeah, that team, while they still are lacking the 6'10 height that a lot of people are looking for, which I think we all agree is a little overplayed.
Adam, have you so your 6'10 guy tree hasn't bloomed in the backyard yet?
I got a couple coming up.
But they haven't bloomed yet. There's no 6'10 guy on my yet.
They don't grow on trees. And the ones that are – there's two sets of 6'10 guys. The 6'10 guys that are elite and they go to the – North Carolinas that you see in the Kentuckys.
Yeah.
And then there's the 6'10 stiffs. And I'm not trying to be mean, but they're not very good. And typically if they go to teams, if teams reach at them.
They go to Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yeah.
I don't want to kill any kids, but we see it all over. Players that are, you think they look intimidating, but Iowa State is eating them up in the past because they're slow. They can't get up and down the court. They can't guard. Sure, maybe they get a couple block shots that a 6'6 guy wouldn't get, but I don't think it's anything that Iowa State's been missing out on.
Well, and even
all
then,
that matters.
If they do turn into a player, it's not until they're a senior.
Yeah.
Or something like that. When they've been in the program for a long time, they've had some time to kind of figure out what they need to do to be able to be a good player.
Do you know what I like? And we haven't got him yet. If Iowa State's to get Morrow and Justin, you're getting two guys that are proven rebounders. And rebounding translates into different each level. And Justin only might be 6'7", but he rebounded, what, 12 a game? I don't care if you're playing high school. I don't care if you're playing YMCA. 12 rebounds a game is damn impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that kid will come in. Iowa State will immediately be a better rebounding team. And then Morrow, same thing. He averaged, what, 8 rebounds a game? 9 rebounds a game?
So. Yeah. And he played hurt for a lot of the season.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, what has been Iowa State's weakness in 2018, if Iowa State gets these kids, could potentially be a strength.
And I think the thing with sorry.
Don't cut Rob off.
I know it's your guy's baby, but I'm just going to chime in. The 6'10 thing is intriguing because for a team that wants to play like Iowa State plays, as fast as they play, you're not going to hit on that many guys that are athletic enough to run. And then the way the game is called, officiated, has kept evolving to favor guard play.
Yeah.
You know, the hand check rule, so many other things. Couple that with the tempo that most teams seek to employ out there, it makes, unless you've got this freakish 6'10 or 6'11 guy that is super athletic and can run the floor really well, oftentimes that type of player is a liability. So unless the game evolves or devolves back to where the big man is the focus and, you know, everything is running through them and they're your big guy, you know, like the Kareem days and all that, it's been a while. I don't think they're as vital. You load up on your combo guards. You load up on your wings. Guys that can fill it up and can run. And, you know, you pepper 6'8", 6'7", guys around that.
Well, I think the thing about that's interesting to me about Shakir Justin is that when I've talked to people about the kind of player that he is, I talked to that coach at Northwest Florida State who's they played against him. And he said the biggest thing that really came away to him about the way Justin plays is he has a motor that will never quit. And I think there's a lot of guys that will come from the JUCO level that they don't have that. They'll tend to kind of take some plays off. They're not the kind of guy that's going to go out and try and make plays on every time down the floor. And it sounds like he really puts a lot of effort into playing on the defensive end of the floor, and then he also puts a lot of effort into just wreaking havoc on the offensive and defensive glass. And, you know, you think about some guys that Iowa State's had that are like that. Maybe like a Dustin Hoke, but maybe a little bit more offensive skill coming in.
Well, the one guy I thought of right away when you're talking about that was Big 12 Player of the Year, Melvin Edgem.
Yeah.
I mean, Melvin Edgem, probably maybe a smidge shorter than Justin, 6'6", mm-hmm. rebounded 8 rebounds per game in the Big 12, played his ass off, and got everything he got was because he worked at it. It wasn't like he just – I mean, he scored, what, 14, 15 points a game? And it wasn't because Iowa State was running sets for him. It's because he did it within the flow of the team and by getting second-chance opportunities because he simply outworked the other guy. And I think every Iowa State fan would be giddy if we got a second Melvin Edgem-type player that just outworked everyone.
Okay, so if it's going to be Justin and Morrow are two of the other scholarships that would be filled, who would you want to see for the third one?
So Morrow and Gosh, who did Iowa State pick up last night? I'm already drawing a blank.
Shayok.
Gosh, jeez.
Both have to sit out. But Demora would be available for 2 years, too.
He would be available for 2 years, and Shayok would be available for 2 years.
No, he's just got one.
Really?
Yeah. He just played his junior year at Virginia.
Look at me coming so prepared for this podcast. I don't know why I thought 2 years. Anyway, so those two are sitting out. Iowa State needs two guys that can immediately help. Juice would be one of them. I think the other one's Allstark.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a guy that can come in, provide a scoring threat on the wing that Iowa State desperately needs at this point in time.
Where is Wright State? Do you know?
Isn't it in –
we got Trivia Man over
Cincinnati?
Here. Is it in Cincinnati? I'll Google this.
Google it. You keep the audio – no, keep the audio file up, and I'll Google it.
Wright State. I mean, I was at Simon's House of Trivia with Rob Gray, and one thing I know is he knows his trivia. So I'm guessing this is in Cincinnati.
Dayton. Close.
Well, at least it's Ohio.
Yeah.
At least it's Ohio.
Newest star with an O, though. Sorry, doing a little Dumb and Dumber. Samsonite? Newest star with an S.
Oh, man. Rob, I heard you got heated at Size House of Trivia.
I did get a little heated. I was upset that there was a whole category for math equations.
Did you hear us talking about you on the podcast? Did you listen? Charter threw you under the bus a little bit, said you were throwing a temper tantrum, threw over the table, kicked a couple dogs on your way out.
There weren't any dogs in there. I kicked him. I might have kicked him. No, they did a fine job. The Charters did a fine job. I had my moments. Ross had his moments. You guys, you know.
I don't think you had your moments.
No.
From all accounts.
My moment was putting the team together. And from then, I just
got
me sat
scotch.
Back.
I appreciate that.
I got him a drink and sat back there and enjoyed my time at the end of the table with our special guests. We had the Godfather stop by.
Yeah.
Who else we have? Shauna Johnson was there. Oh, Coach Heacock. I was grilling Coach Heacock. Yeah.
I was going to say, I bet you were.
Oh, absolutely.
We had some really good conversation
there. What is
Sorensen, I think, was there.
What is your philosophy for recruiting outside linebackers in
4-2-5 team? So, third and 10, are you bringing a blitz from the outside? What are you thinking here? No, I was more personnel. I took some notes. I'll get the information over to you.
Sounds good.
No, he's a good guy. It was a good time. It was a good event, but Rob couldn't bring home the title because he didn't know math. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
I'm terrible at it. How many times on Jeopardy do they have like math equate? You know, can you see the guys, you know, Ken Jennings back in the day? Cosine, you know, oh, here's the answer. No, but that never happens on Jeopardy, the ultimate trivia challenge.
Are you pretty good at trivia? Are you pretty good at Jeopardy? Do you watch it and just dominate?
I'm okay.
I bet you dominate.
I'm okay. I have, you know what I do? It's like at Size House of Trivia. I'll miss some of the things that everybody knows, but yet I'll get the one on Final Jeopardy that the three contestants miss.
Yeah.
I miss some obvious stuff, and then I'll have that obscure one that I'm like, come on, guys. You got to know that. So I'm a weirdo.
That's the least surprising thing I've heard on that. So Iowa State, yeah. So, I mean, I think the hope for them back to recruiting is that they are able to get Morrow and Justin. What are the chances, Jared? Let's put a percentage. Well, let's go guy by guy. Percentage chance you think that they land Justin? Putting you on the spot.
As usual.
9:30 on a Thursday morning, and you were on the hot seat.
I'd say that Justin probably has the highest percent chance.
Okay, I want a percentage. I don't want to just
75. Well, is that what you're about?
Yeah, I mean, I think Iowa State's a team to beat. I mean, I know UNLV's in the picture and Rhode Island's kind of in the picture a little bit, but at the end of the day, I think maybe it's me being a homer, but I don't know why you wouldn't want to go to a team in the Big 12 that's had success the last 6 years making the tournament. There's a huge need for you. You know you're coming in, stepping into, I would say, a starting role. I would assume a starting role. You never know for sure, but I don't know how you don't turn that down. All things considered, you never know what else other options there are out there for UNLV and Rhode Island. But we're clearly the better school, better fan base, better conference, more recent success.
More exposure. I hadn't watched a Rhode Island game until they played in the tournament.
They're on like the CBS back channel, you know, that no one watches. They probably get 0.01% ratings on.
That's still better than Undisputed with Skip Bayless.
fastest growing talk show in the country, buddy.
I'm going to create a media beef with Skip Bayless.
From zero to 100. Okay, so now your boy Morrow from your school, Nebraska. What chances Iowa State lands him?
I'd put that one more like at 60. Because they've got some pretty good suitors that they've got to battle with in Marquette and Xavier there.
Yeah, Marquette.
Xavier, not Xavier.
I know. I do the same thing. It's fine. Yeah, that won't be a tough forget. I don't want to say that's – okay, let's change this up. Give me your top three guys in your rankings as far as who you want.
Justin, Morrow, and Allstork.
You want Morrow first before Allstork?
I said Justin. Oh. No, I'd put Allstork. Now that they have a guy that is a sit-out guy, I'd put Allstork, then Morrow.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I think Morrow might fit a better need, and he plays 2 years, and that's more important. But I'll be honest. I love going to the tournament every year. The fact that Iowa State's gone 6 years in a row, I wanted them to keep it going. And I think the piece, once they get juiced in, is Allstork. If they get Allstork, I'm going to start predicting them to go to the tournament. I don't think they're going to be, a 4 seed. But I think they get in as a 7, 8, 9 seed, somewhere around there. And they make the tournament, and I'm happy. So I would rather put Allstork ahead and take the recent success over a guy like Morrow, who probably long-term is better for the program.
If they get Morrow and Justin and now Shayok, are we going to be going to Des Moines, going to Kansas City, going to Minneapolis in 2019?
Oh, slow down. But yes, I'll buy my tickets. No, I mean, that'll be the fun part of that year. Last year we couldn't go at all because Iowa State was the host school.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even really dream about it. That'd be something the whole year. It won't even be, man, is Iowa State going to make the tournament? It's going to be, can Iowa State have a good enough year to be a high enough seed to where they can make it? And what they have going for them that year, correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to be out in Maui. Yeah. So their strength of schedule that year is going to be really high. They'll be playing the teams like Duke and Gonzaga. Their RPI, and I know right now Kirk Collins listening and cringing as I say RPI, should be higher than it would be other years. So if they have any kind of success, a top 4 seed's not out of the question.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think they're going to have the players to be able to put a team to get like that together. Because they're going to have some – they're going to obviously have some scholarships open to be able to go out and, I mean, add a guy like Race Thompson and probably another pretty good combo guard as well.
But, to not put too much pressure on him, he come in, he's still a freshman. And Lewis and McNeil and Wigington will still be sophomores.
Maybe Jacoby Long will step up into some kind of a role by then too.
Yep. He's kind of the forgotten about one, isn't he? Yeah. No one talks about him.
He was the highest rated guy in that recruiting class last year.
Who else came in that recruiting class? I'm trying
Solomon.
To think. Solomon, yeah.
I remember Long, they raved about his defensive skills at the high school level, which is hugely important. And how's he going to crack that guard court last year?
Right.
Well,
he went right head-to-head with Malik Monk in high school.
Yeah. Who can fill it up?
Well, yeah, we know that.
He can score. Yeah, I hope – I mean, Solomon, we've talked about this and our podcast before. He's just got a little bit of a broken jump shot that I think if he fixes it, he's got the body for it. I think he's athletic enough for it. He's long enough to be a good defender, like Rob said. So the pieces are there, but scoring even more so now than it's ever been is at a premium. And he's got to be able to put the ball in the hoop too, I think, to get on the court. So who knows? I mean, I never thought after Naz's freshman year that Naz Long was going to be a 1,000-point scorer, second all-time in three-point shooting at Iowa State. I mean, to be honest with you, I thought Naz Long, if he ever was more than like a seventh guy on the bench, we were going to be back to the McDermott days. I was 100% wrong. So you never know with these guys as freshmen.
Gives you an example of what that type of will to succeed. And Long's been sitting there absorbing that, seeing what it led to for Naz. Obviously not for years, but a year. And, the type of iron will that Amante Morris has, Matt Thomas, how he continued to up his game all the way through. That can't do anything but kind of sift in there, seep in there as well to sharpen his spirit.
There's also the ultimate wild card sitting waiting in the wings in Cameron Lard, which nobody knows anything about what they're going to get from him.
No one knows. And I know I think he's going to be a nice player.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, if he's a guy that scores 8 points and gets 6 rebounds for Iowa State, that's a plus. That's somebody they haven't had last year.
8 points, 6 rebound guy in the history of college basketball.
Eight and six is good, though, man, for that position, for that guy. Like, I'll take that all day. And I'll block a game, as long as it's efficient 8 points. You know what I mean? If he's not shooting 40% as a big man, that's going to stink out. 55, 60% would be great. It's funny, though. People overhype this guy because, he was a nice recruit, highly rated. Then he had to wait, we had to wait, we had to wait, we had to wait, kind of builds the suspense for him. And then he comes out, and all we see is these little clips of him dunking out in March Madness at the tournament. And I'll just say this, and I got into an argument with people on the forums about this. If you go to an Iowa State practice, and you watch Ray Kazonga, Cam Lard, Simeon Carter, Solomon Young, catch a pass and go up and dunk it. They all look the same.
Yeah.
At this level, every single one of them can go up and throw down a one-handed dunk that makes you go, holy crap, that was a pretty impressive dunk. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Cameron Lard is going to be good. I'm not going to say he's going to be bad. I'm just saying you can't take anything from watching a guy warm up to how good of a basketball player he's going to be. Jared, I've watched you warm up. You suck, man. I'm just telling you right now, you're terrible. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, there's some guys, and I mean, Iowa State's had players before in the past. Matt Thomas for 2 years was that way. You watch Matt Thomas shoot the ball in warmups, you're thinking, this is the best shooter I've ever seen. He's never going to miss a shot. He's great. Yeah. He got in games. For 2 years, he was not a good basketball player. He just wasn't, right? Confidence. He grew into it. So I think fans need to temper their expectations.
Not consistently good, I'd say. I mean, he still had his moments.
He had his moments, you know, but I mean,
he wasn't the consistent good.
He was a 32-33% three-point shooter when he should have been what he was last year, 43-44%. Yep. So confidence is a huge role. Knowing once a player knows where they're supposed to go to and they can just play without thinking a whole lot, that frees them up a lot. Cameron Lard's going to have to work with that a little bit, get into the, you know. He hasn't played basketball now, and it'll be 2 years since he's played basketball, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So, are we done talking recruiting? Anything else we need to hit on?
I don't think so.
Anything in football? Iowa State picked up a kicker.
Yeah, I know that's your – I'm surprised you haven't brought that up yet.
No, I figure, well, next week maybe we'll get Tommy Burch on from Des Moines Register to come in and talk about kickers. I heard when that happened, he was doing cartwheels. He was so excited about this kicker. He said he's got all the stories written for the next 4 years just talking about this kicker.
It's going to be good.
Personally, if Iowa State never – I mean, kickers are the most irrelevant position in all of sports, and everyone's jumping. Oh, we lost the Big 12 North because of a kicker. You know what? Score more touchdowns, right? Iowa State's offense has been terrible my entire lifetime, scoring the worst in the Big 12 a majority of those years. You're trying to tell me that the reason Iowa State hasn't had success is because of 3 points for a kicker? Drive more, score more. Need Iowa State all Iowa State's issues that they have on a football team, kicking is the least important one.
I agree with that.
So, now, with that said, as soon as this guy makes a big kick against Iowa or another team, big fan of his.
Yeah, Adam Gray will be a fan for life.
Yeah. Until they take the field goal out of the game in the kickoff, I don't know if you've got a good kicker, if you've got a poor kicker, I'd say it's pretty important. You want the good one.
We're obviously not Alabama. Not even close. Not even in the same area. But they've had some horrible, horrible kickers, and they still won national championships. Why? Because they dominated every other aspect of the field.
I think horrible is probably.
They've had a couple that have been really not very good. If you look,
I know how much you appreciate and pay attention to kickers, so I'm sure you're digging through these guys' stats and.
Yeah. You know. Well, we've been punter you.
I get your point.
Yeah, we've been punter you for a good majority of my life. I mean, we really have. I don't know why any five-star punter would not want to come punt at Iowa State, which we just got, this kid.
Yeah.
He's a kicker, though.
He's both, isn't he?
He won't punt, though.
He won't punt? Big kicker. Big kicker. Okay.
Downing's done a nice job. Kirby was great.
Yeah.
A number of guys.
No. Yeah. Well, they get a lot of practice. You know, when you're punting 10 times a game, you build that leg strength up, you have confidence, you're good to go. But the goal, obviously, would be to not punt as much, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's great to have a good punter that can really help you, but at the same time, you're punting a lot.
You wanted to punt two or three times and, you know, cough and corner it or inside the 10.
I would like a punter that we see two to three to four times a game, and he does his job and leave it at that. I don't want, hey, Kirby set the record for most punt yards in a game. Yeah. Great. That means we punted 13 times.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Remember when Leonard Johnson set the NCAA record for kick return yards in a game?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because the other team scored 65 points against us.
True.
I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, that Iowa State got a commitment, and hopefully it starts rolling in here for the football. They're out. They're able to be out evaluating and offering kids right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we start seeing it pick up a little bit and we can have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure that it'll start to pick up here in the next month or month and a half, especially once the camp circuit starts going again.
Yeah. Are they doing any of those off-site camps like they did in years past with Harbaugh, or like last year with Harbaugh? Or?
They outlawed them, didn't they?
Did they? I thought after they outlawed them, they let them back in. Did they outlaw them again?
Yeah, they just changed all the rules and stuff like that. You didn't see all these different rule changes that came to college football?
No. Where was I? Was I in Mexico?
You were studying kickers.
No, it was like last week.
Man, I didn't see this.
Yeah, the
did you have some
periods going to the commissioners? And
did you have something up on CycloneFanatic.com about it?
No, I don't think so.
Well, there you go. I only go to CycloneFanatic.com for all my college sports needs. where else would you go? Everyone else listening's agreement.
That's fair. I guess I dropped the ball on that
That's
one.
Fair point.
Okay. All right. Well, once again, thanks to our sponsors, Heartland Flags, heartlandflagpoles.com. Stop in their showroom. Check them out. 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. Rob, I want to bring you in for this because you're a grizzled vet. Is that okay to say?
Yeah.
You are a grizzled vet. The big topic this week, it really started with Hawkeye Nation having a story on their website. Well, actually, I'll take it back even further. It started when Colin Cowherd did what Colin Cowherd did, and he trolled Iowa fans.
I think it actually started before that. Scott Docterman, great professional, Scott.
Yeah, I like
covered
Scott.
Covered Iowa for a long time. He does it for Land of 10 now. He had a piece, and he talked about it a number of times at the Gazette, you know, that there's more or less, and I don't want to – you know, go read the piece if you didn't. I know he took some flack on it. But, I mean, they're fair points. I would argue that the game is important. You know, we'll talk about this.
Yeah.
But to Iowa, it's not a good game to have on the schedule because it prevents you from doing a big home-and-home with a higher-profile school
sure.
that's always good. Now, at the same time, and I think Brent Bloom made a good point, you know, it was about national perception and, you know, you'll raise your national perception much higher and make it much better if you don't get destroyed in bowl games three consecutive years. So I think it rankled some people because it fell into that big brother, little brother kind of conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you lose to a 3-9, like Cole Netton hits that winning field goal at Kinnick a few years back.
Yep.
That was a –
Love
you know,
Cole Netton because of it.
That's a
– Sorry. My love for kickers.
But so, yeah, and then Cowherd does his Iowa trolling business. And you know, people got engaged in this conversation. And, you know, do you extend it? It was through 2021 and, of course, now extended through 2023. And, you know, you can make your points about it, but I wanted to mention that seems to be the genesis of the talk about it.
Yeah.
This time.
I don't want to get into really how Iowa fits in because,
yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with a school doing what they feel is best for them.
Yep.
Yeah, I would argue that it's a little bit of an over – if they wouldn't have gone 12-0 2 years ago, they wouldn't even be talking about this in the national
yep.
perception. And quite honestly, it doesn't really – it didn't hurt them at all.
No.
They still, if they would have beat Michigan State and they're 1 yard away from beating Michigan State,
yep.
they would have been playing in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really understand that. Where they're going as far as 9 conference games and how they only have 3 non-conference games is what I've been saying about Iowa State for years. I've been very vocal about this. I love playing the Iowa State game. I love the Cy-Hawk. I love the rivalry and what it brings out in everyone, the week leading up to it. I'm a traditionalist. When the Big 12 fell apart and Nebraska left, went to the Big 10 and Colorado went to the Pac-12. I hated it. Like it was just, mm-hmm. to me, there's just something about playing those teams. Even if Nebraska kicked the crap out of us every year, I still enjoyed playing Nebraska.
Yeah.
With that said, for Iowa State to be where I want them to be in football, the quickest and easiest way to do that is to schedule 3 of the easiest non-conference games you can get. I'm talking Baylor, right?
Like you said, yeah, the Baylor,
Kansas State used to do that
yep,
with Bill
yep.
Snyder. They don't do it quite as much anymore.
Yeah.
But they don't do it as much anymore because they've elevated their program to the
mm-hmm.
point where they don't need to because they got better players. They're winning.
And to be fair with them, they usually have 2 of those teams that they can keep the crap
yeah.
out of. And
oh.
then there's maybe a team where they do a little home and home.
There's a UCLA
yeah.
or something in there
yep.
that they play. Baylor, I think now that they've been good, I think they've started scheduling teams coming up in the future that are better.
Mm-hmm.
But before they did that, as soon as the Big 12 went to 9 games, Baylor's non-conference was Sam Houston State,
yep.
Louisiana Monroe, and Buffalo.
Yeah.
And Iowa State's is you and I, Iowa at Akron.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, people. Everyone could sit here and tell me, well, the Iowa State-Iowa game is so good for the state, and it does. I mean, it means so much to so many people. That one weekend, the positives, and there are a lot of positives that come out of that one game. That one game is not more than what it could be for Iowa State to get an easy victory, to build up some confidence, one game closer to a bowl game, not be so depleted injury depth-wise, which Iowa's a physical team. They can
mm-hmm.
beat you up. You're playing Sam Houston State. You can probably do a little bit better job resting some guys.
Yep.
And if Iowa State goes to a bowl game, that does way more for the program than the money that you get for one game for the Iowa State game.
Well, that's true. That's true. But if you truly want to elevate the program and you want it to be in a position to where it's going to bowl games about every year, you don't really care about you're expecting to do well in the Big 12. You don't really care that Iowa, who might be 6-6, 7-5, 12-0, 5-7, you don't really care that they're on the schedule, particularly when you also, well, that might change, but, you know, if you can get past these ridiculous games with the home and homes with Akron, Toledo, and start filling in the other two games, it's not like you're playing an unbeatable team. What is it, 10-9 the Cyclones are in the last 19 or something like that of the meetings? It's not an insurmountable hill to climb, and it does help your profile to beat a Big Ten school. And it's not like you're facing, you know, I just think when you add in how much it energizes the state, and it does get, it's actually great exposure. It's frequently, even if it's on like an ESPNU, you're guaranteed it's going to reach some broader regional audience. And sometimes it's even been kind of a second tier national
ABC
game.
ABC, yeah. I don't agree that it if Iowa State goes 3-0 in non-conference and the three games are against the worst teams you can imagine, by week six, nobody cares. And everyone, Iowa State fans will say, well, I don't want to go pay money to go watch Iowa State beat up on Sam Houston State. Sure you do, because we've been used to getting our butts kicked 40-10 or whatever our whole life. If all of a sudden Iowa State's doing the butt kicking, how awesome is that? Let's go tailgate Jack Trice, go into the game, watch him win, get up 3-0. Because here's the truth. Strength of schedule does not matter in college football. It doesn't matter. Come bowl season, it doesn't matter. The only time it matters is if you're a top four team, right? And you're trying to get in that BCS playoff system. Iowa State is so far away from that, they're not even in the conversation. It's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant. So schedule the wins, get the wins, and then at the end of the year, if all of a sudden Iowa State has 7 wins and 3 of them were against the worst teams in the country, nobody cares. Still have 7 wins, still go to a bowl game, everyone's happy. Did anyone care? I mean, I know Kyle Hord made a big deal out of it, but do Iowa fans care that they had a patty cake schedule and went 12-0? No. They went 12-0. Who cares?
Well, and they couldn't control, A, necessarily who they played in the Big Ten that year and the relative strength of the Big Ten. You know, when you looked at
because their schedule's always changing. Right now, Iowa State knows who they're playing every year for the Big 12.
Yep.
Their round robin schedule.
And Iowa will.
They are not getting away from Oklahoma, Texas, Baylor. They have to play those teams. Iowa might get a schedule like they've had the last couple of years where they're not playing Ohio State. They might not play Michigan. Their schedule might be. And Iowa's different than us. And let's be completely honest. They've had more success. If they want to raise their profile a little bit higher, I completely understand that. They just went 12-0. Iowa State's not there right now. They're not.
Here's the thing that's tough about college football scheduling, too, is, you know, you listen to these people say, well, Iowa should go get a home-and-home with Oklahoma. They should go get a home-and-home with, you know, such-and-such big-time college football
program. Oklahoma's not doing a home-and-home.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
example. The thing about college football scheduling is that, okay, you want to get a home-and-home with
A&M.
Texas A&M. You're not going to be able to probably get them on your schedule for 8 years. Who's to say Texas A&M's not going to be terrible in 8 years?
Yeah, you don't know.
Well, and this is my example. You're going to criticize me, as you always do, but when Nebraska put Oregon on their schedule, I think it was 2012, and at the time, Oregon was a top five program, one of the best college football programs in the game at the time.
Yeah.
And you looked at that and you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, Oregon could be a top two team coming into Memorial Stadium. And then they got there and I think everybody would and then Nebraska wins the game by the end of the season. That's not even an impressive win because Oregon wasn't a very good team.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's one of the tough issues with scheduling. Once again, Iowa State's not Nebraska, though. I don't want Iowa State going out and trying to get it.
Well, yeah, but I was talking for Iowa.
No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. And you don't know. I mean, and who knows? Campbell seems to be doing a hell of a job. Maybe in 4 or 5 years or at the end of 2023, maybe Iowa State's a top 25 team. Maybe they are. I sure hope so. So for Iowa's sense, you know, I can see both sides of it. You do whatever's best for your school. In my opinion, what's best for Iowa State, what is best is buying wins. And I know those crappy teams come expensive because everyone wants them because they want that easy win. So you got to fork over some money. But that's where I'm at. You go buy those wins and you start your season 3-0 every year. And then you have to get 3 more wins. You got to go 3-6 in the Big 12, Rob, and you're going to a bowl game.
The thing is, you have to be a fortune teller like Jared says. I mean, some of these
you got
some of these also-ran programs, teams that can be – how many schools are down every single year. Now, if every team takes your approach, those teams aren't, you know, who's going to snatch them up? Where is the highest bidder? I suppose it would be the highest bidder.
Yeah, we got to pay money.
And would Iowa State be in a position to be the highest bidder based on dollars that they have?
How serious are we about winning?
I feel it's kind of a defeatist approach. I feel it's kind of like by buying wins, you're kind of saying, oh, we can't go 3-0 with you know, Iowa on the schedule.
Adam Gray is a coward. Who wrote that?
Sigma.
Hey, you know what? That's making the point I'm making right now.
You're saying.
Okay, here's the thing. I like to play everyone, right? We've been doing this for how many years? How's Iowa State's football success been? How's it been? You guys keep doing it the way you've been doing it. That's fine. You guys enjoy winning three games every year?
Now, if you really have to play three of
those. No, seriously.
If you really have to count on three of your wins coming against the lowest of the low.
It doesn't matter.
How in the world are you going to find three or four more wins in the Big 12?
Because here's the deal.
Because your caliber, you're setting your standard.
How's your confidence going into Big 12 when you're 3-0 versus 1-2?
It's confidence. I mean,
confidence is the most important thing in sports. You got confidence you can win. You've seen your team win. You've seen them take a victory, Neil. That's important, okay?
I think talent's the most important thing in sports.
You know what gets talent? Winning and going to bowl games. You go 3-9 every year, good luck getting people to Ames. Got to go to bowl games. Got to go to bowl games. Got to win.
So at what point does your formula change? Because this is a formula based on the fact that there's been little success. At what point do you say it's okay to – and again, it's, you know, you're going to give up a tradition for the one extra – surefire win, which might not necessarily be surefire if maybe you miss on a class and then this team all of a sudden. We've seen some of these schools that are always bad win 8-9 games sometimes.
Yeah.
MAC teams rotate. Who's going to be good in the MAC?
Akron won eight games 2 years ago.
Kent State had a year where they were. We talked about this in the Slack app, right? Okay, so Iowa State, they play Sam Houston State, Louisiana Monroe, and Buffalo next year. What are the chances they go 3-0 in those games?
Pretty good.
Now, give me a percentage. 90%? They're going to be 14-point favorites against every one of them, probably.
Probably 90-plus percent.
Okay. What are the chances they're going to go undefeated against Iowa, UNI, and Akron? 20? 25? Maybe?
Maybe.
Do the math. Tell me how that is a better idea than doing the Baylor-Kansas State route and scheduling three cupcakes. I'm sorry. I don't understand it. And then, okay, so your second question, at what point do you switch it? That's the tough one. That's the tough question. When do you go back to it? I don't know if there's an exact time, but once you feel like your pipeline and your school is built, you've had a winning mentality now, the program's used to winning, you're getting the players you want, then I think you switch it over. And that's up to the coach and that's up to the AD. But right now, I think Campbell can do this without doing what I'm proposing. I really do. I think he's good enough. I don't think he wants to run from anybody. This is just me. If I was Jamie Pollard, the Southeast end zone's great. The new strength and workout place is great. Those help sell recruits. The best way to do it, though, buy wins. Take that money that went from all the other stuff, put it towards going out and getting the easiest three wins. Iowa State's program would elevate faster.
I don't know how much more attractive you are to a top-level recruit if you go 6-6 every year and play and lose in a bowl game.
Better than bottom-tier
bowl game. Plus, you're giving up a game, again, that is at least attracting a regional audience. You've been playing another Big Ten school. And you're giving up the tradition.
Every game's on TV anymore.
It's been 50-50 in the series the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
50-50, though. I want something that's 90.
So you
want
to go 20
100.
Years where it's 95 to 100?
I want 95-100. That's what I want. If we lose, man, that's a huge upset. And you know what? It might look bad. It might. But 3-9 every single year doesn't look good.
Yeah, well, buying those three wins isn't going to get you to a bowl game if you're going to be 3-9.
Sure helps.
Were they 0-3 in the non-conference?
That's
3-9 every year?
What?
No, I mean, you've got to win in the Big 12. If you even want to get – you've got to win reasonably well in the Big 12 to a certain degree. Why not just count on being, you know, keep that thing that's been talked about under Rhodes, didn't get there very often, get in the top half. Become a team that can be a top half Big 12 team every year, and then it doesn't matter. You can have the two games that you buy, and you can have the Iowa game, which everyone, I think, truly enjoys.
I enjoy it. I like it. I love the Iowa game.
And you know, you should be able to get to 6-6 and then ratchet it up and have 7-win season, 8-win season, maybe get another 9-win season, which we haven't had since, you know, in 17 years.
Iowa State's only won over, what, 8 games once in their entire.
Yep.
Be easier to do it if you got 3 wins automatically to start the year, Rob. Hey, listen, I understand both sides of it. I understand it's not a popular opinion that I have, getting rid of the Cy-Hawk game. I enjoy it. I enjoy going to tailgate. There was a while there where both between going to Kinnick and Jack Trice, I didn't miss a game for like 12 straight years. Mm-hmm. I went to every single game. I love it more. I mean, to me, I have a lot of really good memories from the game, and it would be disappointing if it left. I'm just saying for Iowa State, the best way for Iowa State to elevate themselves sooner rather than later, in my opinion, would be to buy those wins. And people, Baylor might take out all the off-field stuff that's been really bad for them the last 2 years, right? Their program got built up so quickly, so fast, from being worse than Iowa State. They were worse than Iowa State for many years.
Yeah.
Nobody cared that they were scheduling terrible teams after a while. No, I mean, the only time they talked about it was when they were 11-1 trying to go to a BCS.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, man, wouldn't that be fun? If Iowa State was 11-1 and people were like, you guys don't deserve it, who cares? At least they're talking about us. At least we're in the top 10 of the country. We have a seat at the table. And now we could sit back and look and say, Pollard, Campbell, hey, guys, maybe we need to, in the future, start scheduling some tough teams. I'd like to get to that point. I'd like people to say, these guys are pretenders. I would like Colin Cowherd to go and call us cowards on his radio station. I think that'd be great. Iowa fans take it as a slight. I think it's a fantastic thing. At least you're important enough to be talked about.
I think you can take that step to contender without having to be a pretender.
You can. It's easier.
So you're a proponent of always taking the easy route.
I'm the proponent of taking the – if something doesn't work and it doesn't work and it doesn't work and you keep trying it over and over, what is that called again? Is it insanity?
Yeah.
Yeah, insanity. I think we're kind of at the insanity part. To continue.
Insanity.
Insanity. Try something different.
So
okay, we might nothing, get
nothing, nothing different's going to happen until after 2023.
Yeah, I know.
So when they extended it, were you wishing that Jamie Pollard would have said to Gary Barta, "We're not extending this thing"?
Hell yeah, I was.
We are going to just look for the biggest dregs of football.
Oh God,
give our fans these 3 home games against teams that
we can
they
go
know
on
anything
road.
About.
I'll go play Sam Houston State. We can go recruit that area.
They were in the national title game a few years ago.
We'll still beat them. I'm not worried about Sam Houston State.
You and I?
You and I is a little different.
North Dakota State? Nobody knew when they scheduled North Dakota State out.
I don't mind
that they
you and I.
Gonna...
We shouldn't lose to you and I, right? Like, that should not happen.
No.
So, if one of those games is you and I, sure, do they have a chip on their shoulder to beat Iowa State? Whatever. We should have a chip on our shoulder, too. So, I'm not saying run from you and I. I know a lot of fans think that's how Iowa thinks of Iowa State. Iowa State thinks of you and I, as far as little brother, we shouldn't play him, nothing to gain from it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't prescribe to that. Beat him. Just beat him.
Yeah.
And I know you could say the same thing what I'm saying about Iowa. I'm just saying, try something different.
I appreciate your opinion. I think there are some valid aspects to it. But
because it's correct, Rob. That's why it's valid.
Yeah. No.
What do you think, Jared?
I think I'm right, though.
This was pretty entertaining.
I know. It's not a popular opinion. I get it. I don't really fault Pollard and Barta for doing what they're doing, but college football's changed a lot. And remember when Rhodes came and went 7-5 his first year, 7-6, I think is what he went, winning that bowl game. Go back and look at that schedule. Only 8 Big 12 games played. That schedule was not hard at all. It was really easy. Ever since then, Iowa State has had a top 10 strength of schedule every single year. And it's a top 10 strength of schedule for a team that isn't very good. Schedule in the 60s and 70s again, and Iowa State goes 7-6, and we're winning Insight Bowl. Man, I'm telling you, you want to make money? That's where you make money. One Iowa State game here. How about
Jack Trice being full? There's a lot of money. There's a lot of industries that are involved in touting the Cy-Hawk rivalry as well.
I know. The RVTV is gone. We'll have to do something. But here's the thing, Rob. No, instead of Jack Trice being packed in September, what if it's full in November? Whoa. Holy crap.
It wasn't.
We're playing for a bowl game. We're playing to go to the Holiday Bowl. Boom. That place is packed.
I'd say fans have held up better than most could have even hoped for, given the lack of success since 2012.
I'm not calling Iowa State fans out. Yeah. The fans are fantastic. But if Iowa State was 6-5 going into that last home game, there's 20,000 more fans than there were last year.
Another thing that would solve this is not losing so many close games or melting down like against Kansas State there. Even the two-win season, you could look at a handful of games that would have had you close to that bowl eligibility if you don't screw up.
Oh, yeah.
You had your games, you got beat by 50. But you also had games, they were right there for you, and you just couldn't get over that hump.
You know what helps?
Winning three easy wins.
Winning games and getting confidence knowing that you know how to win games.
I'm saying you can do that against two of the dregs that you seek, and an Iowa team that might be a 500 team, might be a 12-0 team. You know,
I think we're talking in circles here.
Yeah, Rob, yeah. we just talked about 20 minutes for something that's it's irrelevant till 2023 anyway. But it was a good conversation, and the good thing is, I think me and you are both in agreement on the fact that I think Campbell can do it, win at Iowa State regardless of the way the schedule's coming into play.
Yep. That's our common ground for sure.
Yeah.
And we enjoy the Cy-Hawk game, obviously.
I love it. I really do love it. I just, you know, I don't go to Kinnick anymore, not because I don't enjoy it, but, you know, when you have kids and stuff, it gets a little bit more – you got to kind of pick and choose which games to go to. So I haven't gone the last couple times. But like I said, I didn't miss a Cy-Hawk game for 11, 12 years. Not one. Love it. And now, soon it might just be Nebraska, Iowa, and Jared will have to be fighting this battle. You hate me so much, don't you?
Sometimes. 75% of the time.
Everyone hates you sometimes.
All right.
But we love you the other times.
Yeah. That's you know what? That was a good podcast, fellas.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
That was enjoyable.
I think I just sat here for the last half.
Well, it was good. We brought you in for the recruiting aspect and then brought Rob in to tell me I'm an idiot. And
we were getting criticized for the words up on the board behind us here.
Yeah, I meant to erase it. I don't know who did that. We'll find out, people, and we'll –
Yeah, it's got a – you know.
We'll kick some ass.
Cross it out.
So, all right. Let's get out of here.
All right. I got to go do the Fallcast.
That's what everybody wants now?
No, no one wants a Fallcast. It's a terrible podcast. Who listens to that crap? Do you?
I generally do.
Okay.
I try to make sure if you guys say anything bad about me.
Well,
you usually
I guess
do.
I should have listened last week.
You keep it up, we'll definitely
I usually listen. I'll have to go back and download it.
All right. Thanks again to our sponsor, Heartland Flags. Check them out, heartlandflagpoles.com. We're finally getting some nice, beautiful weather here, so get the flags out flying high. It's baseball season. Rob's got his Cubs flag, I'm sure, flying. I got to get one. My Cyclone Fanatic flag, I've had it up for about 2 years now. It's getting a little weathered. I might need to go get a new one. So
good. Give me one while you're at it.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. We'll see you guys.